It's Maryland Morning with Sheila Cast. I'm Tom Hall. One sure sign that things are getting back to normal after a tumultuous week in Baltimore last week is that one of the city's premier events, the Maryland Film Festival, will start as scheduled tonight and run through Sunday. It attracts filmmakers and film lovers from all around the world. And as always, it will include work by emerging filmmakers as well as established artists who enjoy international reputations. Last week, I sat down with Jed Dietz, the director of the Maryland Film Festival, and Anne Hornaday, the film critic for The Washington Post, for a preview of the festival, a beloved tradition for 17 years. Jed Dietz talked about what's different this season.
It's always brand new, right? Everything in it's brand new. And of course, we're not remotely done. We will announce some progress on our campaign for the Parkway Theater at the festival. So there's a lot ahead of us. But the most exciting thing is that you couldn't have predicted 17 years ago is the power of this art form and the people that are participating in it and coming into it. It's just doors have been opened. We will help open some of the marketing doors. But the technology making a film, that has changed to the benefit of all of us consumers.
So let's talk quickly about some logistics. The venues you're going to use, you have venues as small as, you know, the wind-up space and as large as the BMA auditorium.
Right. And Falvey Hall at the Brown Center on the MICA campus is our single largest space. And we go from the Walters up to the BMA this year with seven venues. There's a bus system that we've created that will loop around. A lot of it's walkable and, you know, and it's fun to be up and around the neighborhood. And with the Tent Village is moving one parking lot away from where it was last year. It's on the east side of the Lazarus Center, the Michael Lazarus Center. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of free stuff. Everything in there is free. I mean, there's some food and coffee and stuff that you can buy, but all the entertainment stuff that we provide is all free in
That's
there.
That's great.
We have outdoor screenings, and there'll be a lot of fun there.
Yeah, it is going to be fun. And Anne Hornaday, you are a connoisseur of film festivals. You go to them all over the world.
Yes.
I mean, is the Maryland Film – where does the Maryland Film Festival fit in the panoply? I mean, we've talked about this before, but I'm always interested to see if its position in the panoply changes at all from year to year.
Well, you know, festivals have different roles, and some of them are launching pads for for awards season. Some of them are markets where people come and pick things up for distribution. And then there are those that are really community-oriented and very highly curated, and that's where I would put Maryland Film Festival. I mean, it's very much the vision of Jed and of his programming staff, who have keen eyes, and they are connoisseurs of festivals from around the world. And they've really created over the I've been honored to witness this last 17 years.
And participated
when I'm lucky enough to. And what I love about this festival is how intimate it is. You know, I mean, over that course of that long weekend, you make new friends, you see old friends that you only see at this festival every year. You hang out in line together, you talk. And it's also coincided with this really fascinating, you know, Jed was talking about the technology in terms of the filmmaking, but we also have this new kind of fledgling distribution model where filmmakers show these movies on the festival circuit and then either go straight to VOD or do VOD is kind of their main
video
national.
On demand.
Right. So this festival, you know, there are all these wonderful kind of small local festivals that are forming a theatrical network for these filmmakers who may not get a big deal at Weinstein or Sony Classics, but it gives them a way to be viable and make their work seen. And I think it's really exciting.
Mm-hmm. And of course, there's always a good dollop of local folks, filmmakers who are going to be involved. Matt Porterfield has a new short. What can you tell us anything about that?
Yeah, this was a film. We've had all his films in the festival, and this is a film that he shot in Berlin and premiered at the Berlin Film Festival, the oldest film festival on the planet. We also have a short by a Baltimore-born and raised filmmaker named Angel Christie Williams that's in the opening night shorts program.
Mm-hmm. What about a movie called Prophet's Prey?
Yeah, so this has some local connection because Becky Newhall is one of the producers, and she lives in the area. And is invested now in a couple of films just really starting, but she's chosen really interesting movies. This is an extraordinary documentary by a woman named Amy Berg. Nick Cave does the narration and did music for it. And it's a It's a story about Warren Jeffs, who is the sort of anointed prince of this tribe of fundamentalist Latter-day Saints, who are fundamentalists largely because they believe the notion of polygamy is part of the original theology handed from God to Joseph Smith. And they have been disowned, and it's illegal to be polygamous in Utah and everywhere else in the United States, and the mainstream Mormon church has disowned them. So they live in these private compounds. They make a lot of money. He's had well over 40 wives, some of them 12, 13 years old. He is in federal prison with a life sentence plus 20, I think. And so he's likely to spend the rest of his life in that prison. But
what, he will not be attending, I assume.
He will not be attending. But Sam Brower will be attending, who is a devout Mormon who has spent a lot of his life investigating these guys. John Krakauer was also part of the investigation unit that really got Jeffs into jail and uncovered this sort of fraud. Mm-hmm. And it's the most unbelievable story. I mean, it's like a little version of North Korea. You know, this is a cult totally ruled by the whims of this one guy.
On 88.1 WYPR, it's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. Jed Dietz and Anne Hornaday join me for this preview of the 17th Annual Maryland Film Festival, which opens tonight with a screening of short films at the Brown Center on the campus of MICA. Opening night shorts became an annual feature of the festival in 2004, and Hornaday hosted opening nights a couple of years ago. But Anne, these shorts are really, it seems to me that this is a great way of seeing some filmmakers that you sort of figure, you know, I'm going to be seeing more of that
you
person
bet.
Pretty
oh,
soon.
Oh, yeah, that's the best part. As a matter of fact, one of the filmmakers the night that I introduced was David Lowry, who is now, I think, just wrapping production in New Zealand on Pete's Dragon, mm-hmm. a Disney movie. He's had an amazing career. He did a fabulous movie a couple of years after the festival that I met him at called Ain't Them Bodies Saints with Casey Affleck and Rooney Mara, wonderful movie. Mm-hmm. And he's just, you know, great cinematographer, shot a bunch of stuff that's been here. So, yeah, it's really fun to kind of be there on the ground floor of some of these people's career.
And when we say short, Jed, some of these are incredibly short. I've glanced at one that's about a woman walking on a beach. It's a minute long.
Yeah, and we have one. We have two that are focused on some Ronald Reagan footage that are, you know, maybe 3 minutes long that are not in the opening night program, but are in the festival.
So not only opening night will certainly concentrate on the shorts, but then they're scattered throughout the weekend.
We'll show 100 and some odd films, 125 or 30 films, and a bunch of those are shorts.
So John Waters every year introduces a film. This year he's chosen a film called Killer Joe, a William Friedkin movie that he made back in 2011. Does John give you any insight as to why he's chosen that one this time?
Nope. You have to go to the screening to get that. And that's always fun, by the way. I mean, it's very thought out. And he will explain to the audience why he chose it. And he has great insight into the film or the filmmaker, however crazy you might think the choice is. Mm-hmm. This, you know, William Friedkin is a major Hollywood director who did The Exorcist. And, it's sort of fascinating. The play, it's adapted from a play by Tracy Letts, who won the Pulitzer Prize for August Osage County. This was the first thing he ever wrote. I saw a production of it with Anne, actually, at Single Carrot.
Yeah. It was a great production.
Yeah, it was terrific.
They
production.
Did a good job. I saw that as well. It was one of the first productions they did back in the day. And
Anne,
you were a big fan this past year of Boyhood, the movie that took, you know, what, 12 years, you know, Mr. Linklater's movie. There's a movie this year called Girlhood by a director named Celine Sciamma. Mm-hmm. What can you tell us about Girlhood?
This is a really wonderful film about a group of teenage girls who live in the banlieues of Paris, you know, the suburbs.
The suburbs, right.
Yeah, and they're mostly of African descent. And it's just sort of about this this bond between them. It's about female friendship and about persona and about kind of affecting this tough exterior that they have to put on. It's almost like a suit of armor that they need to just sort of be in the world and deal with the boys in their lives and the male relatives in their lives. And it's just a really bracing, bold, nervy portrait of contemporary life with some terrific performances from these young women.
Great. Girlhood, wanted to keep an eye on. Of course, mm-hmm. you get to the festival, you get the book, and then you have to start, you know, scoping out your day. You know, I'm going to be here and for the first one, and there for the second one, and there for the third one. And that's always part of the big fun of it. The final movie is always something that people spend a lot of time thinking about and anticipating. A few years ago, the final movie was The Hurt Locker, ended up winning the Academy Award yep. not too long after. This year, it's a documentary, and there are lots of docs spread out throughout the weekend. It's called The Wolf Pack. That's the big closing night selection. That's got to be a difficult call for you and the programmers here to just figure that one movie that you want to feature in that way.
Yeah, they're all pretty difficult calls because we never have enough slots for all the things we'd love to be screening. This movie won the Grand Jury Prize for documentary at Sundance. It is an extraordinary piece of work. The filmmaker, Crystal Mozell, saw these guys in her neighborhood, the Lower East Side of Manhattan. She got to know them. It turns out that they had basically, their parents were sort of, father was Peruvian, but Hare Krishna. Their mother was sort of a hippie from the Midwest. They had met on a hike to Machu Picchu. And the father had sort of decided the kids should not leave the apartment. It was too corrupting. The outside world was too corrupting. And there were literally whole years where they'd never left the apartment. Their father fed them thousands of movies, which they devoured. They transcribed many of them word for word, and then they would recreate the props and the costumes, do the dialogue, and film the scenes in their apartment. And that was really their life, was recreating these movies. So when Crystal Mozell approached them on the street corner in New York, they were very startled because they'd been warned by their father not to talk to anybody, and you could only leave the apartment very briefly and then come right back. They were in their Reservoir Dogs costumes. And Crystal Mozell, having startled them, talked to them a little bit, and they said, "Well, what do you do?" And she said, "Well, I'm a filmmaker." And Gowanda, one of the kids, said, "Huh, I'm a filmmaker too."
Yeah.
And by God, they are. And it's an extraordinary story. It's compelling. It's a tribute to all art, I think, because this really is their life, and they're extraordinary.
That is wild. That is, what a wild premise. Of course, Film Festival, the Maryland Film Festival every year gives us a chance to look back at some movies, not just new movies right. and stuff. We'll see a few screenings of Do the Right Thing by yeah. Spike Lee, which is sort of terrifyingly relevant. This is a movie yeah. from 1989 concerning, among other things, police brutality. What's your take on that movie? One of Spike Lee's most successful movies.
Oh my God! Its effect cannot be overstated. I mean, it's a masterpiece. It's a galvanizing work of art of its time. And then I have a feeling what we'll see is it's also timeless. I haven't seen it since it first came out, so I think it'll be fascinating to watch it again, especially given our current place and time here in Baltimore over the past week. So I can't think of anything that I'd rather see right now. I mean, I think it'll be a really fascinating screening.
The Maryland Film Festival opens tonight at 8 o'clock at the Brown Center on the campus of the Maryland Institute College of Art in Baltimore. Now, just yesterday, the festival announced a special panel exploring race. That'll include David Simon, the creator of The Wire, the Atlantic writer Ta-Nehisi Coates, the Pulitzer Prize-winning historian Taylor Branch, and National Book Award winner James McBride. They are currently working together on an HBO miniseries about Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. called America in the King Years, based on Taylor Branch's award-winning trilogy. The topic will be a work in progress, writing race. The panel will take place in the Tent Village next to the Lazarus Center on North Avenue Friday night at 6 o'clock. You can check out the complete schedule for the Maryland Film Festival by coming to wypr.org/Maryland Morning, where we'll have a link to all the details. On 88.1, I'm Tom Hall. Lots more coming up on Maryland Morning. Stay with us.